Knowing can be a curse on a person's life. I'd traded in a pack of lies for a pack of truth, and I didn't know which one was heavier, which one took the most strength to carry around. It was a ridiculous question, though, because once you know the truth, you can't ever go back and pick up your suitcase of lies. Heavier or not, the truth is now yours. And this week's opening quote comes from Sue Monk Kidd. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. The truth really can be a heavy burden to bear, ladies and gentlemen. It really can. And I get a lot of mail from people, a lot of emails from people saying my life has changed so drastically since I discovered the truth, and they are finding it very difficult to function in normal society. This is quite understandable, folks. As Judith Krishnamurti once said, it's no measure of health to be well adjusted to a profoundly sick society. A lot of people ask me what they can do, and it's very difficult to give advice to people in this regard. I mean, it can get frustrating walking around in a world of zombies who simply can't see how they are being farmed. But that is the world we live in, you know, like enlightenment is a destructive process. I've said this many times. It's a breaking down of everything you believe to be true. It's a very, very uncomfortable realization. And the only real advice that I can give to people, I mean, advice is a dangerous thing to give, but the only real advice I can offer in this regard is to suggest that people always stay true to themselves and lead by example in all that you do. Don't expect the people around you to wake up. Just show what a bright light you can be because you are awake. But don't have any stake in the outcome of your actions. Don't expect people to get it because very often they won't. But if you lead by example in your life and you become a shining light in your community, this will affect others in a positive way. Just realize that they're asleep and deal with it. A lot of people are just empty portals. That's the way they are. But look, again, if you do need a support group in your area, I urge you to please go and sign up to Full Circle Project and do a search in your area and find some people to talk to. Find some people who are on your wavelength so that you've got that support group around you. That's one of the most important things we can do. And look, for all those people who are paranoid about the Full Circle Project, I saw someone post the other day, oh no, do not sign up to Full Circle Project because this is a database they'll use to go and raid everybody's houses. Folks, they've already got tabs on all the activists. They already know where everybody is. That's one of the things the internet has already done for them. So it's useless worrying about that. What we have to do is get involved on the ground. And folks, when you sign up to Full Circle Project, you don't put your address in there. You just put a general area where you live. Put in any address you want. Just put in your general area so you can find people in your general area and then get offline and get involved on the ground. I mean, people will attack anything that looks like it's going to create some sort of unity. People seem to be so paranoid that their plan for the future is to dig a hole and hide and wait for the boogeyman to come. Folks, what this is about is trying to coordinate people to get involved on the ground. The problem is that people have been trained to distrust everybody. Now, the most difficult thing for people is when they discover the depth of the deception that we're facing in the world today, just how all-pervasive this matrix is and just what the matrix is. Now, what really holds this whole system in place? It's simply our belief that the system is real and our belief in words that are written down on paper. I mean, the system is essentially held in place by magic, but if you say that to people, they think you're crazy because they don't believe in magic, because they don't know what magic is, and yet magic appears all around them every day. That's what holds the system together. It's held together purely due to people's belief that the system is real. And this belief is held together by people's belief in the legal system. And this is held together in turn by people's belief in the written word. This is how the magic works. This is how the spells work. All of the secret codes and all of the numbers that they put in there, the magic that it creates, all of the symbolism that they put everywhere. There's a certain magic that is created by all of this stuff, which they use to control us. They put their secret codes everywhere. They put their Freemason signs everywhere. They put their obelisks everywhere. They do everything according to geometrical patterns. And they do it for not just because of the reason that it sets up an energy grid and they've got this dark circle of magic going on and this is their symbolism that they use, but it also serves as a way of controlling us. You know, once you've done enough research, you begin to realize that one of the main purposes of this secret language is actually to control those who are researching into who the controlling hand is and those who are researching into where things are going. They use the secret language to control those who know about them. Basically, they use it to control their opposition. And the way this is done is really quite clever. But of course, everything about this system is quite clever. But in order to understand how you are controlled by these secret markings and these secret codes, you need to understand the difference between left and right brain perception, and you need to understand how the language works, and you need to understand how the law works, what the law actually is. And when you look at law, there are two types of law on Earth. There's natural law, and there's man-made law. And someone said to me the other day, wouldn't it be good if we had a book for the natural law, for the law of the white arts? I said, well, you're not going to get that because the law of the white arts is not a law that is written down. It is a law that is inherently known and it is spoken. But if we do refer to natural law as being the law of the light, i.e. white law, then we see that man-made law is the law of the dark, i.e. black law. Why do you think they call the legal book Black's Law? And see, what they do, folks, is they teach you to think in language. They teach you to always think in language, and they take you to school, and they teach you to spell. This is the first thing that they teach you to do, to spell words. And these are written words. Spoken words you don't need to spell, not in normal thinking, in normal everyday life. You don't need to spell words. You can just speak them. But once you're taught to spell and you're taught to view words as something that is written down, then the words have a power over you. But it's a spell. It's a glamour. That's why they call it spelling. And most people don't realize that when they are spelling, they are casting spells. You know, someone could tell you to do something, and if that something is wrong, you're liable not to do it. Someone could give you an order to stand between the lines and you may think that that's ridiculous and you won't do it. But if it's written down, you have more of a propensity to actually follow the order and to do what you're told. You know, if you went to the park and there was some guy standing there and he told you not to walk on the grass, you'd probably look at him like he has rocks in his head and walk straight across it because it's a free world and you can do what you want. But if there's a sign there that says, do not step on the grass, you're more likely to take the path. And that's how written language works. You see, Black's Law, the legal book, it's not really a book of law. It's essentially a grimoire. It's a book of spells. They can write down all of these rules on paper and you suddenly believe they apply to you, but only because you can spell. Only because the spells are holding you in place by your belief in this written language, when real language is actually spoken and real law is known. We all know what right and wrong is. We all have an inherent sense of good and bad. But by writing words down and spelling words, we can begin to mold the mindset of people and get them to operate within parameters which exist outside of natural law, outside of white law, whereupon they are now operating within black law. Written language is essentially a form of symbolism. And not all symbolism is bad. Symbolism can be used for good purposes, such as to convey information to people. But a lot of language, a lot of ancient languages, you'll find languages such as Hebrew, Aramaic, Sanskrit, even Chinese. These types of languages are not spelled. You'll find that there is a symbol which will convey an entire word, and the symbol may convey a different word if used in conjunction with different symbols, such as Hebrew. There's like six meanings for each letter, but each letter is an actual word. it's not a language that is spelled. And think about it, folks. Why do you need to spell words? You know, if you've got a rock or a brick, or you want to say him or her or she or he or it, you want to point to a building or a car, why do you need to be able to spell it? Why isn't there simply a symbol for building or car or he or she or it or whatever it is you wish to convey? Why do you need to spell them out a letter at a time? Why are we required to spell a word? And what do we do when we spell a word? What we do is we wrap the word in a spell. And people really need to consider the significance of that and what the word spell actually means. Another interesting thing about English is that English is a direct phonetic reversal of Hebrew. So we're basically all speaking backwards when we speak English. We're speaking sounds that are completely unnatural to the natural rhythms and natural sounds and biorhythms of our environment. But it is in the spelling and the symbolism that is contained within the language that the mental and psychological control grid is constructed. And the same can be said for numbers and geometry. You notice that there's often secret numbers around the place. The number 33 seems to be a commonly reoccurring theme. 42, 322, the number 9, the number 11, all of these numbers are commonly used and are therefore thought to contain certain significance. And many people spend a lot of time in gematria and study of these numbers in an attempt to discover what this magic is and how it works. And the same can be said for the geometry. The Freemasons place symbols all over the place. They place designs and sigils in the very architecture and structure of the road system. They place plaques all over the place. They put their symbolism everywhere they possibly can, and they always use things such as Euclid's 32nd supposition when building their structures. And this also puts an energy grid in place, but it's an energy grid that doesn't just create the geometric nature of the matrix that we live in, it also helps to create the mental and psychological matrix that keeps people constrained, most especially those who are researching into the control grid. And that's what many of the numbers and the geometry is there for, because most ordinary people will never even notice these things. These things are put there for people who have some type of knowledge of the occult and have began looking into this control grid and have began to research into all of this esoteric information. But they're put there to control and misdirect the researchers. You see, they put the numbers there and they put the symbolism there so that you will notice it and you will look for it. You see, you wouldn't be constrained by this system. You wouldn't be operating outside natural law. You would be doing the right thing in all that you do if it were not for the fact that you've been taught to believe in the power of the written word. And so now this written word will cause you to operate outside your moral compass, to operate within black law rather than in natural law. And when you notice this and you begin to see that there's something terribly wrong, you start wanting to know who the controlling hand is, and so you start looking into it and you find there's symbolism everywhere and it gets you excited. You're onto something. You've discovered a secret. And so you continue to look for the symbolism. And every moment that you spend looking for the symbolism and counting the numbers and finding the hidden meanings in the words, you're not paying attention to your surroundings and you're not operating in natural law. You're not doing the right thing in all you do. You're not dealing with the situation because you're too busy going down the rabbit hole to find out what the magic is. And that is the magic. The magic is the fact that you are now distracted and your head is down this rabbit hole and you're not dealing with your surroundings. That's how the magic works. And that's why they put it there. If you couldn't spell, if you weren't trained to always obey the written word, why would you be looking for this stuff? Why would you be looking for the numbers in everything? Why would you be looking for the symbols in everything if you weren't forced into thinking in a left-brain way and you weren't forced to live within the dictates prescribed by civilization? You'd simply be dealing with the world around you. You wouldn't be looking at all of these secret things. You'd be seeing something wrong and you'd be making it right. This whole geometric structure of a city completely disconnects you from your natural environment anyway. Just walking on flat surfaces with square corners completely disconnects you from everything you're supposed to be. So that's the energy of that. But when you discover this and you start looking for the symbolism, then you start finding it everywhere. And again, you think you're onto something. But if you weren't trained in civilization, if you couldn't read, if you weren't so heavily involved in the Matrix, why would it mean anything to you at all? Why would you even be looking for it? Now, what does it have to do with life? What does it have to do with getting food? What does it have to do with your soul? What does it have to do with anything that is not part of the Matrix? All of it is part of the Matrix. And if you couldn't read and you weren't locked into this matrix, you'd simply be doing the right thing in all that you do. When you see something wrong in the world, you would intervene and you would stop that. But rather than doing that, we all operate outside our moral compasses and we obey the dictates of that which is written down rather than the dictates of that which is morally correct, that which is right over that which is wrong. But we don't do that. We obey the dictates of the written word. And we try to find remedy in the written word, and people are constantly digging through little rabbit holes in the matrix in an attempt to find their way out, when all they have to do is look around them and realize that it's all an illusion. See, the problem is that even when people find out the truth and they start digging around looking for it, they're still not really paying attention to the world that they live in, and you're not operating in natural law. You're simply not dealing with the world around you. You know, the elites will get together and they'll have these big bonfires where they'll worship this symbolism, they'll revere these numbers, and we wonder why they do it. They do it because of the control the numbers have over you via the amount of attention that you give them. And that is how the magic works. You know, there's so much about our world that is hidden from us. There's so many mysteries we have about the past. So much of our history has been stolen and hidden. And there's so many rabbit holes for us to go down when trying to discover who and what the ruling hand is and how they get away with and do what they do. But it gets to a point where you realize that all of the mysteries are there precisely so that you will go and investigate them. Precisely so you will try to get to the end of the rabbit hole, so you will try to unravel this mess rather than simply realizing that it's all held in place by fiction. It's all held in place by people's belief in the written word and by people's willingness to operate outside natural law because that's what the written word tells them to do. And that's the magic, folks. You know, these mysteries are there so that you'll look into them and not deal with the world. The numbers are there so you'll keep searching for them and not dealing with the world. All of the symbolism and all of the emblems are put there, all the stuff the Freemasons put around the place. They don't even know what they're doing, half of these people, but it's put there so that you can see it and discover it, and so you can see that this controlling hand is there, so you'll believe they are all pervasive and all powerful because they control everything, because their symbolism is everywhere and their numbers are everywhere. But if you weren't taught to spell and you weren't casting spells in your view of the matrix and looking at it through the filter of the spell, the glamour that you've been put under, then you would simply be operating in natural law and you wouldn't do any of the stuff this system requires you to do. That's how it works, folks. It's all a glamour. The whole thing is an illusion. What really is real here is people. And we are held in place and we are locked into this system by what, for all intents and purposes, is magic, because there is no reason for the human race to be doing what it's doing. We do it because we're told to do so, because we believe that which is written down on paper, because at a very early age we were taught to spell. And no one really knows what a spell is. No one really knows what spelling means. No one really understands how magic works. Symbolism is also extremely useful in creating an air of distrust. And think about it. Symbolism is everywhere. Everybody uses symbolism for something. Every time you write down a word, you're using symbolism. Every time you design a logo, you're using symbolism. And it's got to the point now where all forms of symbolism are being distrusted by the so-called truth movement. Look at the eye, for example. The eye that everyone says is the eye of the Illuminati, the eye of Horus or whatever. Eyes are some of the most common things that you see in the world. Every creature that you see has eyes. Eyes have always featured popularly in artwork through the centuries. Eyes have always been used to depict knowledge and all sorts of things, but now the eye is distrusted, and anybody who displays an eye in any form or anything that even may resemble an eye, even a circle with a dot in the middle, which may represent something else completely, is now distrusted. People are distrusted by any logos that they use. People are distrusted if they don't agree with everybody on all points. And the whole thing is a spell. The whole thing is to create the infighting, to have people arguing over what the meaning of the symbols are, and to make people believe that anything that displays an eye is Illuminati. Yet everybody has eyes. And a lot of the sleeping masses, even those who are humanitarianly minded, even those who are really trying to do something good in the world, who may be completely locked into the system and nowhere near awake to what's actually going on, they might actually have a good plan and put an eye in their logo, but suddenly everyone distrusts them and thinks they're Illuminati. And yet they've never even heard of the Illuminati. They're just a businessman. So this is the way it works, folks. It causes people to distrust everything. And that's its purpose. And of course, the independent media has been greatly infiltrated to foster an enormous amount of distrust with people. And it's also been very sensationalized via the monetization of YouTube. The monetization of YouTube has been a huge trap for people, because now people are locked into the economic model. And the economic model is what we are attempting to defeat. The economic system is the cause of our problems. Well, at least it's the glue that holds the system together. And now, via the monetization of YouTube, people have become locked into the economic model in their activism. And so they tend to sensationalize their YouTube clips in order to get views, because now it's about views rather than spreading what they know to be the truth and what they know will empower people. And attempting to unite people and find a way out of this mess, now it's about bringing people information that they really already know and sensationalizing it as much as possible in order to get traffic to your YouTube clips or to your website. So suddenly the economic mindset has infiltrated into the mindset of the so-called activist, whereby real activism has now taken a back seat to view counts and clicks and traffic and likes. Another really dangerous thing that has happened to the internet is the rise of Facebook, the way it has really began to take over everything. For many people now, Facebook is the internet, and the internet is Facebook, and it's fast becoming more and more that way. Very few people go to other websites. They simply go to Facebook and get their news from Facebook. And now, of course, that much of the independent media has been categorized as fake news, and there is an active attempt underway to shut many of these sites down. It's just getting worse and worse. For example, a lot of businesses now don't even bother to open their own websites. They just open a page on Facebook, and when they give you their business card, it's basically their phone number and a link to their Facebook page. There's no website. And this is setting a very dangerous precedent, folks, because Facebook is virtually taking over the internet for many people. As I said, for many people, the internet is Facebook. And the flow of information on Facebook is heavily regulated and heavily controlled, and it's becoming more and more difficult to spread random information to random people. People only get alerted to stuff that they've already looked at, stuff that Facebook believes they may be interested in. It doesn't allow them to have access to any information that isn't already categorized by Facebook to be of interest to them. So this very effectively filters people's access to any new information. It effectively locks people into groupthink. You'll find that people who think a certain way all have access to the same information. They form their own groups, and it separates them from people who think a different way. And it also limits the access that people get to information that may be very important to them. Naturally, it very much affects the spreading of truth and factual information to people, and also very effectively prevents people from ever thinking outside of whatever little boxes they may have constructed for themselves. It keeps people stupid, folks. It stops people from ever breaking away to some new area that they hadn't thought of before, and very much helps create a sheeple and herd type mentality within people. But again, it's all spelling. It's all the written word. You know, when we indulge in social media, we communicate in social media, we're not talking to each other. We're typing to each other. We're writing down words, and many of the words that we write down, we don't even know what they really mean. But the internet has been a huge boon in many ways. It's made the world smaller. It's given us access to so much information, but it has removed people of their life skills, and it has moved people away from verbal communication and real communication and into a world of typing and texting and into a left brain world that is all written down or coded or numbers. And it is simply not the world that mankind should be living in. I mean, look, I've got nothing against technology, folks. I think technology is wonderful. I use it every day. I think technology is very, very useful, but technology also has a dark side, in as much as technology is only ever as bad as those who are in control of that technology. And those who are in control of the technology that is currently running our lives are simply not good people. These are not people who can be trusted. These are the people who've put this whole matrix together and are perpetuating it. Many of the people that are doing it, of course, don't even know what they're doing. They're enslaved to the written word, the same as everybody else. They're all caught in the glamour. And that's why it's so difficult to judge people. I mean, sure, there are those at the top who know exactly what they're doing and know how this whole thing works. Those who go to these dark forest celebrations of Bohemian Grove and do all the terrible things they do. But not everybody is your enemy. Not everybody in the system is your enemy. Not everybody who displays a logo that you may disagree with is your enemy. Many people are simply caught in the glamour. And in many cases, so is so very much of the so-called truth movement, so very much of the independent media, and so very much of the resistance. And it's imperative that people step back and view things with the correct eyes and really look at what's going on here. But folks, I think we've reached break time here now, so we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, so it's very interesting to see how many people are actually caught up in the glamour of the language, caught up in the glamour of the symbols, caught up in the glamour of all the numbers, the glamour of the spells. All the little secret messages that are put there to keep them entertained. It's amazing how many people don't ever really step back and see why all of these things are there and how it affects them by attracting all of their attention. I mean, as I said, folks, normal people who just live in the world, they never even notice these symbols. They never notice gematria. They never notice any numbers that are being used. They never notice the dates that are being used. They don't notice how the obelisks are constructed. They don't notice how the Freemasons do all these things. It's only people who have been looking into the occult who can see the symbols and who notice all of the secret language that is placed everywhere. And once they notice it, they become fixated on the secret language itself rather than on who put it there, why it's there, and what it actually does. They look for the magic and they don't understand the way it harvests their attention and prevents them from actually dealing with the world they live in. That is the magic. That's how it works. And that's why the symbols and the numbers and the secret messages are there, just to keep people entertained and to keep them guessing and to keep them looking, to keep them with their head down the rabbit hole, rather than addressing the situation that they're in. I mean, and sure, this is not the case in all works that are put out there with these codes in them. I mean, there's books you can read. There's the Lesser Key of Solomon, the Goetia. There's all sorts of books you can read which are for the initiated, if you will, those with an esoteric leaning, those who know the occult. There's information in there for those people. But what I'm talking about is the symbols that are placed in everyday sight and the numbers that are used in certain names and certain dates when events take place. When things are done in plain sight like this, Many people will present you with the concept that this is done as a secret sign to those in the know, so they know that it was done by their friends, but really it's not. They already know what's going on. They do that, and they use these dates to keep those who are investigating them entertained, to keep them with their heads in books, to keep them researching rather than stepping into action to deal with the situation. It's also a very effective way of disempowering your opposition as well, because they put this symbolism there so that those who are investigating them can see, oh my God, they're doing it again, and there it is in plain sight. Why can't everybody see it? Why can't the sleeping masses see what I see? And that's why they put it there, because it keeps you on the edge of your seat. It keeps you researching. It keeps you feeling frustrated. It keeps you feeling disempowered. It keeps you in fear, and it keeps you with your head down the rabbit hole. As I've often said, folks, if you really want to get to the bottom of whatever mystery it is that you're researching, the best way to get to the bottom of it is to establish freedom on this earth. Because all of the mysteries exist because mankind is not free. That's the only reason any information is hidden from anybody, is because we aren't free. We live in a people farm. The human race is being farmed, and it's being harvested. You know, the recent information that's come out regarding Pizzagate, and my God, what a play that was, by distracting everybody from the root core of the issue, which is pedophilia, and have them focus on the pizza store so they could cry out fake news. That has to be the biggest farce and the biggest lie of the entire election, is Hillary Clinton's claim of fake news and the meme that they have created from it. But irrespective of that, the exposing and confirming of this vast network of pedophiles, this occult reality that exists behind this reality, a society that is cloaked in shadow, which is secretly farming the rest of mankind, this has all been exposed now. You know, we've been looking into this for years, but Pizzagate has shown just how all-pervasive it is and how many people are involved in it, folks. The fact that the media has done what they've done with the Pizzagate story shows just how all-pervasive this pedophile network is and how many people are involved in it. But until people can step out of the glamour of the written word and put aside their belief that the written word holds power over them, until people can step back into their moral compass, nothing's going to change. You know, there's no need for you to go and investigate why the world is in the state that it's in. It's in the state that it's in because it's run by criminals and pedophiles and the human race is being farmed. That's why the world is in the state that it's in. And it maintains this state because everybody has their head down rabbit holes trying to become the latest guru. Everyone's trying to sensationalize their news accounts by telling people the latest headlines about stuff they already know. No one is providing any way out for anybody, or very few people are anyway. And people who do see a way out or even hear the way out, they often don't want to put that into action because it requires self-application. It requires people getting involved themselves and realizing that they're not going to be saved. No one is coming to rewrite this script. We have to rewrite it ourselves if we are to change anything. But people don't want that. They want someone to come along and save them. But the thing is, folks, that nobody can. And if you believe in such things, I would suggest that not even Christ can come and save mankind in its present condition. Because until mankind itself and each member of mankind chooses to acknowledge their moral compass and step into that moral compass, nothing is going to change. Until people start doing the right thing in all that they do, until people understand that it is by allowing the evil that controls this world to hold sway, by allowing people to convince us to step outside of our moral compass, by tolerating the evil that exists in the world, by tolerating the death and destruction we see all around us, we create the world that we live in, and we have created this world. We've allowed the people who control this world to maintain their control simply by our tolerance of people doing the wrong thing simply because someone wrote down on paper that they should do that. You know, until we change our moral compass, nothing's going to change. Until we start doing the right thing, nothing is going to change. It doesn't matter who comes along with any system. It doesn't matter if Christ himself comes back. If people are still prepared to operate within black law rather than do the right thing, then it's game over right from the beginning. Christ wouldn't survive a day on this earth. And most of the people that would probably crucify him would be members of the independent media and so-called truth community. Not that I believe in Christ, but anyway, it makes a good example of what I'm trying to get across. The thing is, folks, we have to change our moral compass. And if we do that, if we step into our moral compass, the world changes around us. I mean, I've been saying this on air since 2008. I really have. I've been suggesting that people simply change the way they interact with the people around them. You know, if we did this, it will create ripple effects and more people will start to get it. And that's the best thing you can do, is to be a shining light in your community and to lead by example in all that you do. And I know it's hard. I know it's hard to maintain your composure. Sometimes it gets incredibly frustrating. Sometimes you want to lash out at people. And hey, I do it. I lash out at people. I get frustrated. We're all human. It happens. But don't worry about it. You know, once you waken to what this world is, you take on a certain need to bring about change. I mean, you can't go back to sleep, as I said in the opening quote. Once you've picked up your pack of truth, it's really difficult to go back and pick up your suitcase of lies. You really can't do it. Once you've taken that red pill, you can't go back to living the way you were living before. It's simply not possible. You know, even with the trials and tribulations I've had with this radio show, and just even being able to continue the radio show, you know, I had really, really worked hard to organize myself to have some help over the Christmas holiday here, over the Christmas period, so I could get these films finished and still continue the radio show. And it didn't happen. I'm very, very far behind schedule now. A lot of things happen, folks, to wear us down and to hold us back. And there are times when I've felt like giving up. I just don't have the energy to go on anymore. But then what can I do? You know, how can I know what I know and stay silent in the face of what is coming? You know, it's simply not possible. You know, you get to a point where you see the world for what it is and you see what's coming down the pipe and you have to say something. You can't do nothing, because if you do nothing, you become part of the problem. And it's very difficult to do that once you're awake. You can't go back to being part of the problem, because you know that before you're awake, you're a part of the problem anyway. You just didn't realize it because you're asleep. You didn't realize how much non-participation in this system, non-participation in understanding what the system is, contributes to the perpetuation of the system. But it's like Plato's allegory of the cave. It's very difficult to tell people that which they simply can't see. And very often they can't see it because they don't have access to the knowledge, and they don't have access to it because they're kept so busy on the treadmill. So that's the best thing we in the independent media can do, and those who are awake can do, rather than going down the rabbit hole and continuing to look at all the symbols and look at all the gematria and look at all the numbers and find all the secret codes. Find a way of explaining the glamour to the people around you. Find a way of explaining the spell that they're under to them in a way that they can understand. Because once you see it, once you know it, once you're awake and once you can see how the world is run, why do you need to keep going down the rabbit hole? We already know what's going on. We know we're being farmed. We know we're being harvested. We know there's a very, very dark energy that exists here due to people's ignorance of that fact and due to people's inability to be able to formulate any cohesive response to it. So that's what we can do. We can find a way to concisely and effectively just crack that shell on the people around you. Not by setting yourself up as a guru, not by monetizing your channel and thinking that it's all about that. Don't allow yourself to get enslaved to the economic system that we're trying to defeat. You know, that's the problem, folks. They've infiltrated our minds. It's a psyop. The whole way they've monetized YouTube, they've put this psychological operation in place so that now it's all about clicks, it's all about views, it's all about subscribers, it's all about getting your video out there to make money from it. It's not about getting the truth out there anymore. And people are grabbing anything they can that they can sensationalize and just pushing it out there to get a following, to keep their following happy and to keep people involved in this spy novel version of reality whereby they're always waiting for the next installment, but they're simply not dealing with the surroundings that they live in. You know, while people are doing this, the police state is coming online, more and more stuff is being rolled out, more and more legislation is coming into play. They're talking about banning the $100 bill here in Australia. They're talking about Australia being a cashless society within 10 years. This is all the stuff that is on the plate, folks, and it's all happening simply because people are too busy with their head down rabbit holes. And while they're researching all this stuff, they're still continuing to do the wrong thing. They're still continuing to support this system. You know, one effective thing that people could be doing would be talking to police officers, talking to people in the military. If you know anybody who's in the military or you know a police officer, have a talk to them and ask them why they are so prepared to follow other people's orders and do the wrong thing and believe it's the right thing. And tell them to quit their jobs. Ask them why they haven't quit their jobs, why they are so prepared to support a slavery system. And if you're married to a police officer or someone in the military, tell them to get another job or get another spouse. You know, if you're with any order follower, anybody who's involved in a company who is doing the wrong thing or is trashing the environment or is taking the rights away from people, quit your job. Do something else. You know, I know a guy who's working in an organization in Japan developing a game. And this game has drones in the game that follow the people around and you fight with the drones and they map your body movements and they learn by your body movements. They learn how to fight back. And he says, oh, this is going to be a great interactive learning game where the drones are able to learn off their opponents. And I thought, why are you working for this company developing this technology and thinking it's going to be used for a game? You know, why do people do this sort of stuff? And sure, it's a challenge to create this learning AI technology that can map human movements and it will make a great game. But is that really what it's about? Is that really what life is about? These intellectual challenges to create electronic systems that can kill more effectively. Why would someone be doing this and think that they were doing anything of service to mankind, think they were doing anything of service to themselves? Why would they be putting their brain power into developing something like this? You know, people have to step away from this system. They have to step away from anything that causes them to operate outside of their moral compass. Doesn't matter how much you're being paid for your work. The money's irrelevant. The money is simply a form of scarcity. That's what it's for. Money is put there to put people in a state of scarcity and to reward them when they toe the line. And toeing the line usually means developing far more effective ways of killing and enslaving the population, as what this person is doing in this drone software he's developing for this game. You know, all the world is truly a stage, folks. It really is. And mankind has been played like a fiddle on all counts. And even the truth community has been played like a fiddle. Even those who research into all of this occult system have been played. The whole thing has been a charade to hide the workings that exist behind it. To keep people distracted, to keep people searching, to keep people occupied, and to keep people from ever really looking behind the curtain. Of course, most people don't want to look behind the curtain because they are afraid of what lays there. Many people are deeply offended by pedophile activity, and rightly so. And they are horrified to learn the extent to which this is carried out and the absolute atrocities and the way the children are killed. It's absolutely horrendous. It isn't just raping and killing children. This group of occultists have taken this to a fine art, and they very much enjoy what they do. And this is a place that people simply don't want to go. It's a reality that people simply are not prepared to acknowledge. But once you really see it, folks, once you've done enough research and things really become clear, you begin to realize that you've just been wading around looking through murky water for your whole life. You've just been looking for all these little pieces of information that are floating in the pond, hoping you can piece it together into some sort of jigsaw. You're not really digging down and looking what lays at the bottom of the pond. What lays behind the veil? What has put all of this stuff there? Why is it there? Why is it so easy to prove that the controlling hand is any secret society you want to pick, even aliens? Why is it so easy to prove anything you want to prove? And you begin to realize that it's because even though there's truth in much of it, virtually all of it is a red herring. None of it addresses what lays behind the veil. And that's where the real power lies. The problem, of course, in the truth movement, or whatever you can call it, the independent media as it's become today, is that so many people are not looking behind the veil. So many people are just waiting for the next news story so they can put their conspiracy slant on it and present it to the world and put the world in fears. And they're all screaming, look what's coming, and crying wolf. But no one's looking at what the solution is. And there's only one solution, ladies and gentlemen. There's only one solution to the mess that we're in, and that's for people to shift their moral compass. That's for people to start doing the right thing and to stop supporting anything which is causing harm, injury, or death. Stop supporting anything which is contributing to the slavery of mankind. Stop supporting anything that's contributing to war. Stop supporting any politician that's supporting the state of Israel. How can you be supporting these people? That's a question you can ask to your politicians as well. You could ask them, excuse me, but how do you feel about the fact that 1,221 Palestinians have become homeless in 2016 as a result of Israeli home demolitions, and that you're not particularly happy with the fact that your tax money is being spent on creating homeless people in Palestine? There's lots of questions that we can ask folks, but we've got to adjust our moral compass in order to do so. And once you adjust your moral compass, you can't support this system. There's no way you can support this system or anything about this system. And that's the thing. And the thing about it, folks, is that's why it doesn't matter what other system anybody comes along to offer you. If you haven't shifted your moral compass, then it doesn't matter. You're just going to end up back in the state that you are now. And it's even your need for someone to come along and offer you another system that is the very problem itself. Because we don't need to have a new system. We don't need to reconstruct anything. All we need to do is get an understanding of what it is to do right and what it is to do wrong, and stop engaging in or tolerating behavior that is wrong, most especially when it's coming from our governments. I mean, we are at a very important time in history, folks. We're at a real turning point, but we really do have a long way to go to see any type of real awakening on this earth. To see any type of real shift, we've really got our work cut out for us. Because the system is coming online in leaps and bounds, it really is. No matter how much people claim there is a big awakening happening, sure, there's a lot of people becoming aware that something's terribly wrong, but they're not awake. Most of the people who are even speaking out against the system are not awake. They're only aware that there's something wrong. They're aware that they're living in a slavery system, but they're not prepared to look behind the veil. They don't really see what they're facing, and they don't really see what the solution is. And they don't see the urgency of people springing into action. You know, we really need to have people getting motivated and stepping into action against this system. And really, to step into action against the system, all you have to do, folks, really, is nothing. All you have to do is stop participating in the system. If you're working in one of these jobs, stop. If you're supporting it in any way, just stop supporting it. Go home. Stay on strike. I would still like to organize a worldwide day of noncompliance on April 15th, 2017, if people want to spread the word for that as well. I think that would be a good statement to give to the system, and would be a good message of unity to the people of the world if we could organize enough people to do that. Imagine if everybody stayed home and simply didn't participate in the system, didn't spend any money, didn't go to work, didn't do anything the system wants you to do for 24 hours. Just try it and see what happens. I think it would create a shockwave right around the world, and I think it would inspire people to maybe push it a little bit further. But people have to get motivated, and they have to stop supporting the system. It's the only way we're ever going to bring about any real change in the world, folks. We're not going to get it from someone coming to save us. We're not going to get it from anyone offering us a new system. We're not going to get it from voting a new face on the coin. It's just not going to happen. We have to look at things from a moral perspective and do what is right in what we do. Always engage in the action that is the right action. Don't engage in wrong action. And you're going to find that the world changes around you. And that's really all we need to do. It's really as simple as that. It's just difficult to get people to actually want to do it because people have been trained to operate within the parameters that are given to them by the system. And this system is designed to find that little sociopathic, self-serving spark in people and amplify it and reward it. And that is a real problem. That's a lot of what causes the sleeping masses to stay asleep, because really that's the type of world that they're forced to live in. That's the type of mentality they're immersed in. And then those who do wake up to the fact that something's terribly wrong very often end up distracted with their head down a rabbit hole, being led down the garden path by all of the symbolism and numbers and esoteric signs and secret messages that are put there for that very reason. So it's very difficult to ever coordinate any response. And the esoteric symbols and signs and sigils and all the stuff they put there are very effective for dividing people, keeping people arguing amongst each other, saying they know what the signs mean. Oh, no, I know what the signs mean. You don't know what you're talking about. All of this sort of stuff, back and forth, tit for tat. Everybody thinks they've got the piece of the puzzle that's going to solve the riddle, but really it's just part of a bigger puzzle. And the entire puzzle is there for one reason and for one reason only, to keep you trying to piece it together rather than looking behind the veil. But that's what Pizzagate has done, folks. It's given us the ability to look behind the veil, at least to confirm what we have said, what so many people have said is occurring for so long, that the human race is being farmed. That is the bottom line here. And until we address that, it doesn't really matter what else we look at. It doesn't really matter what rabbit hole we go down. It doesn't matter what piece of the puzzle we think we've found. It doesn't matter what shape we believe the earth is. It doesn't matter what political system we vote for, what religion we belong to. You know, what matters is that we establish the freedom to put all of these mysteries to rest once and for all. What matters is that we establish the freedom to be all that we can be and to actually express ourselves the way we should be able to do so. And we have to free these children. We have to stop this human harvest that is taking place. Because it's taking place every single day on this earth. Children are being harvested, they're being brutalized, they're being shipped around the world, and we're voting people in and voting people out and attempting to put a different face on the coin because we're so concerned with our own personal surroundings. We're not looking at the bigger picture. And as I said, when we do, we just get trapped down rabbit holes that have been purposely put there just to keep us distracted, just to keep us divided, just to keep us fighting amongst each other, and to prevent us from ever really stepping into action. But it's time we did, folks. The world is waking up, and we need to seize this opportunity and move in the right direction, because now we actually have a chance to do it. One of the biggest challenges we face in the road ahead, of course, is overcoming the propaganda that's fed to the masses by the mainstream media. But I really think Pizzagate is causing people to see through that as well. Even though many people on the street are supporting the mainstream version of it, a lot of other people who are on the fence are seeing the validity of the Pizzagate investigation and are really wondering why the media is simply not prepared to look at it at all. And that's a very good sign. But folks, I think we are at the end of this show here. It's been a pleasure to come on and talk to you today. It's always a pleasure to come on and talk to you every week. Thank you to everybody who is supporting my website, thecrowhouse.com. Thank you to anybody who is supporting the Patreon account. That is my only source of income now, folks. So anybody who can make a contribution to that would be most appreciated. I've actually come into a state of pretty severe financial difficulty at the moment. So anybody who can help, it is very much appreciated. But that is it for me, folks. I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then, my friends. In Lakesh.